guys, in a break from the norm, today's Shir Kol Yudabek actually is from the Masechet the Yeshiva's learning, but it's not really about Sukkos ideas per se, so I think it's still a broadening Torah experience. Okay, often when I say that the sources today were more Achronim, usually the Achronim are a bit harder, but do not get dissuaded. Usually the sources will not be as hard as they were today. Okay. Here we go. Okay, let's just start with where we encounter the concept of a mitzvah to go greet your Rebbe. So the truth is, it already came up in our Mishnah, right? When the Mishnah had this concept of shluchei mitzvah being yitzem. So probably a lot of you learned this. So Rashi gave three examples of shluchei mitzvah. Okay, do you remember Rashi's three examples? Okay, one was heading to learn Torah. One was heading to redeem captives. And the third was? Go to be your rabbi. So it sounds like there's some kind of mitzvah endeavor to go to greet your rabbi. Although notice, did Rashi on the Mishnah give a timing for it? No, Rashi just said go to greet your rabbi. So if you just had that Rashi, you would have thought this might be some independent value, not a function of a specific time period of the year. Okay, great. And now I'm not sure how many got there, but that was Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. If you then move to Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, there was a story about two rabbis who were on a journey. And it says, where were they going? It says, Kivi Aile Bishapta Derigla Rabeirish Galuta. Remember, they slept on the banks of the river? Now, who's the Reish Galuta?
The head of
the Jewish community in Babel. And when are they going? It says, Bishapta Derigla, on the Shabbos of the Regal. So there you might have an example of going to greet a rabbinic figure or a leader of some kind on the Regal. You know, it's not clear in Gemara, but maybe that somehow is, at this point, limiting when this endeavor takes place. And then finally you get to the Gemara of today, which is much more explicit. So now, I'm sorry, y'all? Yeah, exactly. We'll see right now. Let's look at source one. Okay, very interesting source. Tanur Rabbanan. Ma'aseh Rabbi Elias, Shalach Lachpil, Penir, Belazer, Rabbo, Belundere. Okay, so here this Rabbi Elias, this student, Rabbi Elias is the teacher, and the student wants to go greet him. This teacher lives in Lud. And it's a regal. Amr lo, so the teacher sees his student show up. He says, Eli, my student Eli, ein cha mishovte haregel? Aren't you one of those that's supposed to shovate from the word? What's the word here? Shabbat, right? Aren't you one of those who rests on the regal? In fact, in modern Hebrew, where's your own freedom when you need him? Okay, anyone know how to say a strike in modern Hebrew? When someone goes on strike, what are they doing? They are bishvita. Why shvita, strike, as it were? You're like resting. You're not working, right? You're on. It's like permanent Shabbat. Okay, so aren't you one of those that rests on the regal? Shai Rabbi Lezer Omer Mishabeach Ani Et Atzlanim She'ein Yotzin Mivatein Beregel. Who do I praise? The lazy ones who don't leave their house on the regal. Oh, what a good Gemara! Now, why is the pasuk crucial, guys? What does the pasuk show? V'samachta Ata Uvetecha. Yeah, where are you supposed to be? You're supposed to be with your family. Okay, that's where you're supposed to be. So therefore, what's he telling his student, basically? Yes, what are you doing here? Go home. Why are you with me? Right, I like people who are with their family on Chagim. What are you going to miss your rabbi for? Okay, so as Jacob Rockin points out, it's become very popular in recent years for even non-Breslovers to go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and there are various criticisms made. So if you are, if you want to ask Rav Moshe Lichtman, you could, you'll get the Zionist criticism. But I'm going to go with the family criticism. Like, how can you leave your family for Chagim? What are you doing there? Okay, stay with your wife and kids. That's what you're supposed to be with for Chagim. That's your holy Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so that's the criticism here. So he says, Rabbi Eloi, what are you doing here? Okay, now the Gemara continues. Okay, Jacob Rockin, you're happy? Okay. The well-dressed Jacob Rockin. Okay. Ini, is it really so? But I've got a problem. What is Rabbi Lezer's critical? What are you doing here on the regular? You should be with your family. But what did Rabbi Yitzchak say? You're obligated to go greet your rabbi on the regular. It's a good thing. Shenema, what's the source? Madua ad holechere levayom lo chodesh lo shabbat. Mechlal de bechodesh for shabbat. Mechai v'nishlak pulat rabbi. So let's get this quote down first before we... Actually, let's do the answer first. Okay, then we'll get the quote. So we have a contradiction. Rabbi Lezer is against the student isn't the rabbi. And here it says that you're chayev. Lo kasha had the azal ati biyome. Had the azal v'lo ati biyome. What's ati biyome? You can come back that day. meaning it makes. We want you to have, there are multiple values in life sometimes. Greeting your rabbi is a value. Being with your family is a value. Where did you go greet your rabbi? If you can return that day, if you can return that day, you're not away from home that much, so it's okay. If you can't return that day, don't do it. Okay, so we've solved the contradiction. There is a mitzvah to greet your rabbi in the regel, but you only do it when you can return on the same day, because there's another value, which is to be with your family on the Friday. Okay, but let's go to the pasuk, though. So first, let's forget the biblical context, and everyone should ask me about an oddity about this pasuk. Okay, so the biblical context, those of you who looked it up, right, there is a woman called Isha Shunamit. She has a relationship with Elisha HaNavi. At one point, she gets a child. Unfortunately, the child passes away. She goes to the Navi for help. But what does her husband say to her? Why are you going to the Navi, after all? It's not Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, or Shabbat. What does that imply? That the normal time to go, let's call the Navi, as it were, the rabbinic figure of the day. When do you go to the Navi? When it's Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh. So it seems to me that on holy days, that's when you go to the rabbinic figures. Okay, I've got the source down. So the source for an idea that appropriate time to go to the rabbinic figures on a Yom Kadosh is that the husband says to the Isha Shunamit, why are you going? It's not Regel or Shabbat. Okay, everyone should ask a killer question. What did Rabbi Yitzchak say? You have to greet your rabbi? No, what did he say? On the Regel. What's the pasuk about? Yeah, what's going on? The pasuk is about Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat. And you're deriving from there that you have to greet him on the regular. That seems like a jump. Like, you could say holy days equal holy days, but why focus on something that's actually not in the pasuk? So I think the first question to ask is, how do you derive a chiyuv about the regalim from a pasuk that's about Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat? Have we got question one on the board? Okay, now I'm going to ask you question two. Again, if we had a Gemara, you know, some of you may know, if you don't know how to do this, everyone should learn this year. There's a footnote system in the Gemara, how to track things down in the future, like it's right. Right? How to get from the Gemara to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. So if I wanted to look up this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, okay, anyone know where I'd find it? Okay, but what would happen if I actually looked? Okay, you would discover there's nothing there, which means the Shulchan Aruch does not quote it. So the second question is, well, is it a mitzvah or not? Right, it sounds pretty halachic, right? The language of the Gemara is Chayiv Adam Lakbil Pnei Rabo Beregel. And yet, when we get to later halachic form, it doesn't appear. And indeed, most of us in this room have probably never done it, right? When's the last time, I don't know, did you visit your 11th grade Gemara during Chol HaMoed? Probably not, right? So maybe that means it isn't really an ongoing obligation. So the question would be, why not? Okay, so our two major questions are, how did we get from Chodesh and Shabbat to Regel? And is this really an obligation? Why is it not a Shulchan Aruch? Why do we not seem to practice it? Okay, Josh Cohen.
Where is that pasuk?
It's in Sefer Melachim. Okay, you know, my Shunabek guys keep getting bothered because they all learned the rule that you don't derive halacha from Nach, only from Chumash. And they keep seeming to come up with examples where we are deriving halacha from Nach. So I think you'll have to conclude it's not such a hard and fast rule. Okay, we're good? Everyone good here? Judah, what are you doing for lunch today? So?
Yes.
No, I mean before that. What are you eating lunch today? You don't know? Okay. Guys, Judah and Michael are on the verge of having dishes named for them at Chatzer. Okay, you're gonna go there and they're gonna say, do you want a schnitzel or I don't know, something else or the Michael? Okay, order the Michael. Okay. Here we go, guys. Let us go to a surprising shot in the Torah. Okay, so we're trying to figure out how we got from Chodesh and Shabbat, how we got to Regel. Okay, so let's go to the Turi Evan. Turi Evan is a man named Rabbi Aryeh Ginsburg. Okay, his more famous work is actually, right, the Shagat Aryeh, Shagat, sorry, which is a great name for a sefer. What does it mean literally? The Roar of the Lion. Your name is Aryeh, that's a good name for your book. The Roar of the Lion. Okay, but he also has a sefer on Shas called the Turi Evan. Let's see what he says. Kashuli, I don't understand. Shavak Rabbi Yitzchak Shabbat v'Chodesh Tichtiv. He abandoned Shabbos and Chodesh, which actually says V'Nakad Regel Deloktiv, and he picked something that's not written. Why abandon what it says and go to what it doesn't say? Okay, here we go. V'Od Kashuli Regel Mandachashme U'Menalde Rabbi Yitzchak Shabbat V'Regel V'Nirli. Now, Tzuri Evan is a very innovative and surprising shot. Shabbos Tikra Hainu Yom Tov. Oh my God, what a move! What does he want to claim? when the husband of the Shunamit said it's not Shabbos, what did he really mean? It's not Yom Tov. Now that seems like it's cheating to tell me that Shabbos means Yom Tov. But before we move on, can anyone tell me, well, even though I still think it's a very difficult shot, why it's not totally outrageous in our tradition to say that Shabbos here means Yom Tov? Jacob Rappin. Okay, very good. Okay, it's a famous debate. Oh, who's our Jewish historian here? Who likes Jewish history? Oh, there we go. Dave, you're our Jewish historian. Okay. You can handle the responsibility?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so as you know, this very interesting thing in Bayit Sheni, that there were all kinds of different Jewish groups, right? Josephus describes four different groups, right? We'll see who took a good Jewish history class. Who are the four groups Josephus describes? So there are the Prushim, the Pharisees. The Sadducees, the Sadducees. Oh, very good. The Essenes. And the... Oh, very good. Who said that? Very good. Ben, were you, how well did they work on Jewish history?
A little bit.
A little bit? Okay. And
is,
what? Maybe you knew that also. So Poznak doesn't do Jewish history?
No, I did take Jewish history.
Okay. So the fourth group is the Sakari or the Zealots. We'll talk more about all the groups some other time. But of course, the Sadducees don't accept the rabbinic interpretation of the Torah. They don't accept the oral law. What is one famous debate between the Pharisees and the Sadducees? So it says in the Torah, when do you do the Omer offering? Mimacharat HaShabbat. Okay, now you might say, what's the simplest reading of that? You should do it on Sunday. Indeed, that is how the Sukkim, that's how the Sadducees read the Pasuk. What did the Prushim famously say? That in that Pasuk, Shabbat means the first day of Pesach. Indeed, when do we start the Omer? So we always start counting the second of Pesach. So we're interpreting Machrat HaShabbat not as Sunday, but the day after Yom Tov. You guys with me? So without getting to the debate over there, I will at least point out it's not unheard of in our tradition to claim that the word Shabbat could have different resonance in a certain context. So the Turi Evan wants to base himself on that and claim that here Shabbat really means Yom Tov. Okay, so I admit on one level it will solve the problem. Again, what was the problem? How does Rabbi Yitzchak jump from Shabbat to Regel? What's his claim? He doesn't jump because Shabbat here means Regel. Okay, however, I still think we will agree, your default reading would usually be, what does Shabbat mean? Shabbat. You need like very convincing reason to say that Shabbat is Yom Tov. Certainly the primary meaning of Shabbat is Shabbat. Now he tries to give an argument. I'm curious what you guys think of this argument. Let's read a little bit more. Okay, so he does say, Kedidashim Yimachrat HaShabbat Degabi Sfira Dayin Yimachrat Yom Tov Perek Rabbi Yishmael. He does give Jacob Rappin's point. But then he says, Yish Shabbat Mamash, if you're going to tell me the Pasuk is talking about Shabbos, Amai Akdin Kra L'Chodesh Kodim L'Shabbat. What's bothering him? Why would Kodesh be first? HaShabbat Tadir Yoter. So what does he want to claim? Ah, wait. Usually you have a rule, Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodim. So that means if it's really Chodesh for Shabbat, then, right, then Shabbat should be first. What would make it better? But if it's Yom Tov, then you could say that's why the Chodesh is more common than Shabbat. Ever got an argument? Okay, what do you guys think? Is that a convincing argument or not so convincing? Okay, time is given a chance here. A little better. We'll get in there. Anyone tell me why? Does the Tadir principle work here or not? What do you think? Yeah, I think.
Two things. First of all, a public ending of the law doesn't have to be in the order of.
Okay, very good. Guys, one thing to realize in life, when we have rules, like everything else, have context. Rules don't mean they apply everywhere in the way. Just to give you a silly sports analogy. Okay, where's Ari Eisen? We'll make it. There we go. Okay, now let's say there's a rule, I don't know, in football that you can't have excessive celebration in the end zone. Okay, so that doesn't mean there's a rule in basketball you can't have excessive celebration after you dunk. Right, everything has its own context. You have to figure out if the application makes sense, right? Am I right about football and basketball?
I mean, you can do a little too fast.
Football. Can I ask you to get 10 goals also?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? You hang on the rim for too long.
Okay, all right. Fine. Okay, but in any case, when do we have the rule of Tadir Bishenu, Tadir, Tadir, Kodem? That's the rule, yeah? Okay, good. It's usually in halachic practice. I'm going to do two things, and what's the question? Which of those two things should I do first? I'm going to make two brachot. Which brachot should I make first? Is that the same as when there's a list of items in Tanakh? Right? Is there a rule necessarily Now, there might be, but that has to be argued, right? You can't, by definition, take a rule in one Jewish context and just automatically plug it in elsewhere. I don't know if there's such a rule, right? When we see lists in Tanakh, the lists always go by order of frequency, right? I can't think of a particular example offhand that a list in Tanakh is a function of frequency. So at that point, I think the argument falls away, right? You're taking an argument from a specific halachic area and applying it to kind of biblical interpretation, which I think is debatable. Isaac. Yeah.
I would argue that the Torevin himself doesn't think that alone either of these are like that hard, or they might work together like sniffs those people.
Okay, very good. So I agree with Isaac, guys. It's a good rule about arguments. Sometimes arguing, what do? You don't have like one killer argument. You don't have like one great argument. But you try to kind of, if I could combine like three mediocre arguments, maybe I could get somewhere. So Isaac, what's the plan that the Torevin's doing? Like, okay, it's not... There's no killer argument, but it'll solve a problem. Sometimes Shabbat does mean Yom Tov. We do have a rule in a different context study here. Maybe you put it all together, it works. But I didn't find it particularly convincing. Yeah?
Don't we see this principle in the order of Pesukim when we're trying to ask him what order you should be in the Brachonin when you have the 7 years in Israel? And it's whatever closer to Aretz and the respective Aretz is the letter of conversation that goes to it.
No, but who says that's about Tadir, though? That shows that sequence matters. It doesn't show that Tadir is a controller of sequence. I'm not arguing that sequence doesn't matter in Tanakh. I'm just saying, who says sequence in Tanakh is a function of Tadir?
Well, I guess maybe when he says Tadir, you should have taken this other way, where he should have said...
Think about what's his argument. Shabbos must mean Yom Tov, otherwise it conflicts with the Tadir principle. But that assumes there is a Tadir principle at work here. Okay, all right, what do you think?
I agree that it's like a pretty weak argument, but he's still has some kind of impetus to say that, like, Shabbat might not be Shabbat.
Okay.
But in terms of, like, he after goes and says that Kodesh might be...
I was going to leave out that part.
See, there's no reason for him to assume that. There might be something to follow, like a source that would link the two, that idea of Kodesh and Rosh Hashanah itself. There's no reason to go to that source in the first
place. I wasn't going to do it inside, I was going to flesh out what Ari says. The German's even more creative. He claims that Shabbos means Yom Tov. He claims that Chodesh means specifically Rosh Hashanah. I just think one advantage of his approach, though, that means that really the only time there's a religious ideal of going to visit a rabbi is on or Chagim, right? Because what does he neutralize? He's neutralized Shabbos, and he's neutralized Rosh Chodesh. So in a certain sense, you do end up with a mitzvah. Oh, when do you meet a rabbi? Be rabbi on holidays, right? Yom Tov or Rosh Hashanah. One more interesting thing. 1 second, Joseph Kahn. One more interesting thing, guys. You see, guys, you read carefully, a lot of interesting things happen. Can anyone tell? Let's say I want to go with just Chagim. Okay? Let's say I want to limit to Chagim. Would you guys tell me that it's obvious I should include Rosh Hashanah or it's not obvious? When I say the word regel, you said before, what do I tend to think of? The Shlosh Regalim, right? So that would just be Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. So even in his move that he neutralizes Rosh Chodesh, he's kind of, at the same time, increasing the category. He's assuming that it would apply to Rosh Hashanah. So I think a lot of interesting, even if you love or don't love the Tereven, a lot of interesting things are going on. Again, just to sum up, what has he done? He's neutralized Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat. He's saying, really, the whole passage is about Yom Tov, right? Shabbat equals Yom Tov, Chodesh equals Rosh Hashanah. But he's also included Rosh Hashanah in the parameters of the state. Yes, Joseph Kahn. Okay, very good. Yes, Isaac. He asked that question himself.
So I don't know how he made me stand by that second thought.
He rejects something or he just doesn't believe in the
God. So either you hold your second thought that takes away the first one, right? Or you just don't believe in the second one. So
okay. Okay, fair enough. Okay, now let's move on to another. Let's say we're looking for a less radical solution. Okay? What do you do? Okay, you're making this here. Okay. Excellent. Okay, let's go to a different solution. Okay, so sometimes in life, it doesn't always happen, but you could look at Pirushim on Tanakh to help you even in a Gemara place. So here's a good example. We're reading a Pasuk in Tanakh. What does some of the Pirushim on Tanakh say? So the Malbim is one of the most famous Pirushim on Tanakh. Okay, it's on Chumash also, but I always say, guys, I know a lot of Tanakh lovers this year. I find a big difference in studying with Chumash and studying Tanakh. When you study Chumash, there's so many good Pirushim, you could always count on finding something. Right, they're like, you know, just 30, 40 wonderful Pirushim on Chumash. Have you ever had this experience? You go to Tanakh, all of a sudden you want to know, like, where do we go? Like, how come all of a sudden there's like three Pirushim? Right? So somehow Nach did not get the same attention. But one of the most important Pirushim on Nach is by the Malbim. So he's the person to be aware of. Let's see how the Malbim addresses our problem. Madua, I'm source 5. Madua Alekalayam Lo Chodesh. Ki Hayam Minagam Alekalayam Lo Chodesh for Shabbat. Now notice he's not like a Terebin. According to him, what does Chodesh for Shabbat mean? Yeah, it takes it literally. Now, but look what he does. He does what we haven't seen yet. He's going to have a reason. Well, maybe if we have a framework, we have a rationale, it's going to change things. Shekmo Shetziva Hashem. Oh, actually, where's Richie? Is Richie here? Oh, what did I see? Where is he? Is he asleep? Okay, I just want to make it, even though he's asleep, I'll make this announcement anyway, guys. This year, first time in right history, there's a Yiddish wing of the yeshiva. Okay, a special Yiddish studies program. There are two entries. It's only Ian Lorand and Richie Yafif. Okay, they are in the Yiddish studies program. Okay, it's very exciting. You can ask about joining when Richie wakes up and ask for that. Okay, here we go. Let's go back to the Malbim. In fact, I bet right now he's dreaming in Yiddish. Okay, here we go. So where does this come from, this mitzvah to visit your Rav on the regular? So he says, Shekmo Shetziva Hashem al Haliyab Regel, Ulamitem Garke Shabiakon Imlam Shikla Shepat Dusha, Miyashoke Benibchar. Ah, what does he want to claim? What is he connected to? Well, what should happen in holy days? I should have a holy experience, right? I should have an encounter with holiness. How do I normally have that encounter with holiness? Well, if it's the Regel, what do? I go to Benibchar, right? It's mitzvah, and you say, Yom, it's mitzvah Aliyah Regel, Shah Ad Sukkot Pesach Shavuot. What if it's Shabbos in Rosh Chodesh where there's no Aliyah L'Regel? So apparently, what do I do then? I go to the Rav. So notice what he's done. He's placed visiting the rabbi in a larger context. What's the context of visiting the rabbi? The search for like a holy experience on a Yom Kadosh. Tani.
No, I was
going to
have you ask a question.
Oh, no, sorry. So you want to ask a question? Okay, great. Now he's going to do something very interesting. Okay, let's keep going. So he says, what happened now? So if we skip to the next page, what happened according to the Malbim? Okay, so he says, "Hotziu mizeh shechayim v'kapin rabbi v'regel." Ki b'sman hazeh she'ein mikdash yekabal p'nei rabbo b'makom. That is very clever. Then he says, "What happened? Why did the Navi? Why in Sefer Malachim was the pasuk only about Chodesh and Shabbat? Because that was a time when there was." A mikdash. So you didn't have to go to your Rebbe on Chodesh, on the Regel. You had a better move. What was the better move? Yeah, as nice as your Rebbe is, the mikdash is a more impressive experience. So you'd go to the mikdash. But what happened by the time you get to our Yitzchak in Gemara? There is no Beit Mikdash. Ah, once there's no mikdash, what happens on the Regel? You go to the Rebbe. Okay, we're good? So he has, I think, a much simpler solution. I've got the first solution was to redefine the words. I think that's very difficult. Terevin's claiming, oh, Shabbos means Yom Tov. The mom says, no, not at all. It's just that this is part of a larger context, namely search for a grand religious experience on a Yom Kadosh. When you have a Mikdash, how do you deal with that? You go to the Mikdash, if it's the Regel. If it's Chodesh and Shabbat, then you go to the Rav. When there's no Beit Mikdash, what happens to the Regel? It shifts to the Rav mode. That's where Rav Yitzchak could derive visiting your Rav, even though the Pasuk is not about the Regel. Have we got his solution down? We're good? Sam.
Yeah, so that means you visit your Rav on the Regel, and also that's instead of just moving on to Shabbat.
Very good. So Sam is interesting point. You still might wonder, according to Yitzchak, why isn't it a chiyuv in all 3 days?
Yeah.
Right, so here
it's also reasonable to say that, like a replacement.
Okay, very good. Sam, very well done. Good, very good point. Yeah, David. Oh, okay. Ooh. David Lipschitz. Okay, so I will point out, okay. Guys, I would be a little radical for a second, okay? I know that we're very traditional people. We try to keep things the way we've always kept them. Okay, and therefore, many rabbis, when they talk, will say that nothing could ever change in Judaism. We've been keeping the exact same religion forever. Okay, I am open to the fact there could be some kind of dynamism. Now, dynamism doesn't mean everything radically shifts, but there could be shifts in emphasis over time. I think that's legitimate. I think it's legitimate to say, when you have a Beit Mikdash, much of religious life will be Beit Mikdash centered. When you don't have a Beit Mikdash, perhaps the center of religious life will move elsewhere. So I don't know if this is what David Lipschitz is getting at, but someone might argue, even for the sake of argument, maybe Talmud Torah became more central, or in a non-Beit Mikdash world. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so David's saying that maybe at some point, like greeting your Rav is almost symbolic of that. Is that your argument, David? Yeah, you could, so David would say it's not just like a technical shift, it reflects like a larger theme in like where Jewish life is being centered. Okay, when is Mikdash, everything, not everything, but much is centered around the Mikdash. In the absence of the Mikdash, things get centered elsewhere. Yeah, Jacob Rockland. Yes, Jacob, it does fit that. Okay, we're good? Yeah, Isaac. Yeah? Okay, no, but there he's just making a parallel. Like David wants to say, that parallel is reflective of like a larger religious shift. Okay? David, let's just put that in your parish on the Malvin. Okay? We have to think of the name of your parish, David. Okay, but I should explain to Shana guys. For those who don't know, David Lipschitz looks like an unassuming yeshiva guy. Really, he's an international man of adventure. Okay, ask him what he's done in his spare time, guys. Okay, not right now, but during lunch, I'll go after him, say what David's done in his spare time, which parts of the world he's been in. You'll see it's much more lurking there than you think. Yeah. Yeah, well, in Sefer Malachim, guys, this is a little Jewish history. Where is Sefer Malachim situated? Historically. During the time of, not geographically, but historically, during the time of Bayit Rishon, right? Almost all of the Nevi'im is during Bayit Rishon.
Also, right? I don't know that the purpose here for going to go ahead is the same as the Malkin Tosca. This said they want my comfort from the sun, and here's how I'm getting home.
Yafemot. So Tanya's a very good question, but I would say actually it fits it beautifully. Tanya says, wait, that's not why this woman is going to the Navi. But that actually fits in perfectly. What does her husband say to her? Why are you going? After all, it's not Kodesh Shabbat. Essentially, I think Tani's right. What would her answer be? I'm not going to have some kind of grand religious experience on a Chag. I'm going because of my son. I think that's exactly the dialogue. Right? The husband doesn't understand, and that's exactly right. Okay, well, guys, so we have two solutions to our first problem. How do we get from Shabbos to the Chag? We got the Turi Evan solution. And the Malcolm solution, we're now going to move on to the next question. Who had I end up just now? Okay, JJ. That's very interesting. We'll get there in a second, okay? Okay, let us now go to the Pnei Yeshua. Actually, one more question before we get to the last question. The Pnei Yeshua wants to know something else. Wait, who seems to be going to the Navi? The Isha Shunamit. Okay, Isha Shunamit's a wonderful person. And she's female. Sounds like the mitzvah to greet your rabbi includes women, right? Because what did the husband say to her? If it was Shabbos, I'd understand why you're going. Right? Meaning, you'd be part of this mitzvah. Now, wait, isn't it classic? If we say it's limited to the Chagim, what would you say? It's classic mitzvah asay. Shizman grama. Okay, so we'll do the Pnei Yeshua outside just in the interest of time. I hope some of you got here. What does the Pnei Yeshua want to say? Did any of you get there? Or you guys didn't get this part? Okay, so let's just read at the end of the third line. Let's read the end of the third line, we'll be okay. Noah Small, how are you doing over there? Yeah, okay. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Let's end the third line. Shemitzad ha-svara. What would you say from logic? Hayachayev lakbel pnei rabbi l'chol sha'at. El'iyev sham shum bitul malacha. Very interesting. Pnei Yeshua, guys, is a totally different approach to the Malbim. According to Pnei Yeshua, what's the right time to visit the rabbi? All the time. I mean, it's not a value about having a holy experience in holy days. It's just a value per se. Rabbis are a good source of wisdom and instruction. But of course, what are the factors obviously playing? What do you mean by bit the malacha? Yeah, people have to live a life. You can't say go to the rabbi every day. You have to go to work. You have to go to your law firm. You have to go to your medical office. Therefore, what does he assume? Really, you go to the rabbi any day. But normally, work takes precedence. Family responsibility takes precedence. So of course, what's the one factor that changes that? Yeah, because days that
you don't have any work.
Exactly. When you have leisure, that's when you realize it. But notice with that, he's sitting very sharp conceptually. What's the claim? Why is it not Mr. Deshaze Mangrama? Because the reality of this is, everything's the same. Why does it play out the way it plays out? Well, it just is that normally going to work takes precedence. But if you happen to have a day where you don't go to work, that's when you can realize this value. So I want to point out three things here. A, his model is different than the Malbim's model. Right, according to the Malbim, the Chiyuv is naturally only on holy days. He's claiming the Chiyuv is naturally every day. Okay, number two, therefore it's not Zman Grama. Number three, this is the most clever part. what might happen, so some of you might know this, okay, I don't know if your moms are into this, guys, but, you know, in Judaism, there's a tradition to associate women with which day, which holy day?
Rosh
Chodesh, as if Rosh Chodesh is a women's holiday. Any of your moms know that have like Rosh Chodesh parties with the other women? No, they do that in your communities? What, JJ? What? It's a good move, guys. Tell your wives and daughters, right? That's their day, Rosh Chodesh day, day for women. They will discuss some of the day, why, how they got associated with Rosh Chodesh. And there's even a minhag, some of you may know, that women don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. But now something great emerges. Why would this woman normally have gone Chodesh for Shabbat? Because, again, according to the Bnei Yeshua, you go on days you don't do malacha. But now something really interesting emerges. It could be that only women would go on Chodesh. Right? So that would also solve a problem. Why would, here, Sam, get back to your point. What happened to the men's going on Rosh Chodesh? No, but maybe men work on Rosh Chodesh, therefore wouldn't even come up for men. So I think that Bnei Yeshua has done a lot of nice things here. Again, he's claiming it's a daily thing, it's just that it has to be balanced with bit the malacha. That explains why it's not mitzvah say shes man grama. And maybe Chodesh would only be for women and not for men. Yes, Isaac. He's not claiming what? I think he is actually. That's a good question, actually. You know, you may be right, actually. Maybe yours is more reasonable. Meaning, at the time, it was men and women. As Jewish history progressed, only women kept this idea of Mr. Malacha and Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, now it doesn't apply to men anymore. Yeah, maybe that would be better. But it is kind of interesting. I'll throw in one aside here. In general, in our lives, it's hard for us to take Rosh Chodesh particularly seriously. Right? It just seems like any other day we're like, I'll throw it in. Although there are isolated Jews who try to keep Rosh Chodesh going, such as our very own Rav Noam. Okay, you might notice, guys, that on Rosh Chodesh, Rav Noam always wears a white shirt and gives out candies. Okay, so he is the sole voice keeping Rosh Chodesh alive. And I think Aaron Priven, you did also, right? And Aaron Priven, who's a religious fanatic. Right? The two of them wear white shirts on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so there are those who still try to keep Rosh Chodesh going.
And Sam Hill has a Rosh Chodesh shirt.
I did not notice. Where is he?
He
always wears that Rosh Chodesh? How could they never notice that? Okay. Is there some like symbolic thing with that shirt in Rosh Chodesh?
What? That's something to do with
Capstone. Okay. Capstone. Okay. So in any case, the Seder. But we tend to not think Rosh Chodesh that seriously anymore. Rav Soloveitchik, by the way, has a thing. If anyone's curious, he's a very thing hesped, a eulogy for a man in Rabbi Gold. We refer to him as Ish Rosh Chodesh. And he talks about like, what is the Rosh Chodesh personality as opposed to Yom Tov? If anyone's curious, guys, go read that hesped. It's very interesting. Okay, everyone good now? Any other questions? Okay, last part of the share now, guys. What happened to the chiyuv today? Right, again, most of us don't do this. Gemara says the word chayav. Where'd that go? Okay, so let's look at two sources, at the Noda Behuda and at the Aruch Lener. Okay, as you guys know, the Noda Behuda is Rabbi Yechezkel Landau. He was a rabbi in Prague. In fact, if you go visit Prague, it's a little bit tricky because there are three different Jewish cemeteries to go to. Okay, the standard tour of Prague has the one with all the Jewish museums where the Maral is buried. Okay, that's the standard one. If you go by 20-minute subway ride, you get the one where the Noda Behuda is buried. And there's one that's like a 15-minute subway ride, which is where Franz Kafka is buried. Okay, so we're going to do your tour of... in fact, I'll tell you a good story. This is a good story, actually. Yes. Okay, so my wife and I are on vacation in Prague in June. The first day, we go to the Jewish community center to daven mincha, and they announce after mincha, there's going to be a funeral tomorrow. It's going to be hard to get a minyan. If you could come, that would be helpful. Okay, so even though my wife and I were on vacation, we thought, we'll do a mitzvah, right? So it's going to be 2 hours. So we agreed to come to the funeral. Now, I did not bring any rabbinic clothes. I basically only had, like, jeans and polo shirts. Okay, but, I'll come in my jeans and polo shirt to the funeral. So it worked out very well, actually, because I was the 10th Jewish man. We had, like, 14 men, but I was the 10th Jewish man. So I enabled them to say Kaddish. And then, I even apologized to the family, because everybody else is, like, in a suit and tie. So I said to them, I apologize. I said, no, we're very happy you came. But it turned out that this cemetery was where Kafka was buried. Okay, we would not have otherwise gone to the cemetery. And so as soon as the funeral was over, my wife and I went to see Kafka's grave. And the very cool thing about it is that there's nothing fancy about it in the slightest. Okay, it looks like anybody else's grave and just says, Khan, Nikbar, like Usher, Anshul, Ben, whatever. Okay, so it looks like any other Jewish guy from Prague. Okay, so maybe there's something very powerful about that. Maybe, you know, death is the great equalizer. Okay, but in any case, that's if you go to Prague. Okay, so now let's go to Nota Bihuda. Okay, let's go to the Nota Bihuda here. What? I'm sorry? Oh, sorry, I should have explained who Kafka is. Okay, Kafka was a Jewish writer who wrote, some of you in the high school, none of you had to read Metamorphosis? Okay. Okay, I'll just say, if you want to read it, if you warn you before it, okay, most of his books are about kind of the futility of existence and bureaucracy. Like, there's a book called The Castle about trying to arrive at a castle you can never get to. So, if only read him if you're not, if you don't want to be in an upbeat mood. If you want to be in an upbeat mood, don't go with Kafka. Okay, he did become a very, very famous writer. Okay, his most famous three books are Metamorphosis, The Trial, and The Castle. Okay, here we go. Let's go to Source 7, in Nota Bihuda. Okay, so he says, there's extra sanctity. So notice, he sounds a little bit similar to the, not to the Pnei Yeshua, but to the Malbim, right? What am I trying to do? It's days of extra holiness, extra encounters with Kedusha. So I try to do that by going to the Mikdash. I try to do that by encountering the Rav. Okay, great. But now he has a new factor that no one said so far. Amnam lahatil chov efshar. What can't I do? I can't make it obligatory. Why can't I make it obligatory? See, there's a beautiful pshat, guys. Mitam shemu b'kedushin avlam gimel. Amma over Rabbiana ain tam mid rishai lam fei rabba l'shakrit v'arvit. Shelo yekvodo muvem mikvod shemayim. Oh, Rav David quoted this the other day. Right, what's the claim? If I'm getting up for my Rebbe 70 times a day, what's the problem? I'm giving my Rav more kavod than God. Right? Maybe the most times I hear my Rebbe is three. Because how many times do I encounter God in a given day? Three times. So notice there's a new value at work. I think it's a very important value, guys. We like to sneak into Machshav into the Lum this year. Right? We do believe in rabbis, but what's the danger in Judaism? We never think the rabbi can be more significant than God. Right? Remember, we are worshiping. We do not worship people. So now there's a built-in limitation, right? How could it be you'll go to the Rav more than you'll go to God? Ah, now something very interesting emerges, guys. So let's go back. Let's reason the rest out. Now you'll see the rationale as well as very clear. 1 second, Jiddy. So how often should I realize this if there's a Beit HaMikdash standing? How often should I go greet my Rebbe? Three times. Why would that be okay? Because it won't be more than... No, not because of Shachman and Chamar. Excellent, Tani. I'm going to go to God's domain three times a year, right? I'm going to go on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. So therefore, if I visit my Rav on the Regalim, I am not treating the Rav as more significant than Hashem. If I went to the Rav every Shabbos or every Rosh Chodesh, that would be giving him more Kavod. So now, 1 second, Jacob Rappin. So first of all, for Nota Bihuda, you see how you got from Chodesh V'Shabbat to Regal. Really, again, Chodesh, Shabbat, and Regal would have all been the same. But what was the problem? But we can't have kavod to a human being ever outstrip kavod to a divinity. So at that point, it has to be limited to three times a year. But guess what, guys? Things get even better. According to, everyone get this far, guys. According to the Nota Bihuda, why might the Shulchan Aruch not quote this halach at all? What happens when we move to contemporary times? We don't go to the Mikdash. Arguably, if we make it a chiyuv to visit your Rav, what have we just done? Again, you've given a human being more stature than the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can't do that. No, lo and behold, what happens? The chiyuv falls away. So again, we need one more theory, guys, to wrap it all up. The Nota Bihuda theory solves several problems. How did this chiyuv get limited to regalim? What would he say? Well, we wanted to make sure that covered for a person did not outstrip covered for God. What happened to the chiyuv in contemporary times? Well, we never go to God's domain, as it were. So at that point, there can't be a chiyuv at all in the contemporary situation. Jacob Rockland.
Couldn't you say, though, that specifically in those days, you stand in front of Hashem four times? So,
no, but I think he's using Kiddushin to make one equation. He's making a different equation. Okay. What's the Kiddushin equation? Getting up when your Rav works in, vis-a-vis tefillah. Okay, that's one equation. And don't get up more than you stop. What's his equation? Going to Aliyah Regel versus going to Rav. Again, those are two reasonable equations, right? He's not equating going to Rav versus the Amidah. Right? The Amidah was about getting up, and going to Rav is about going to the Beit HaMikdash. JJ.
Isn't it
Okay, sorry, I meant to say that, guys. Let us do, before we get to the last verse, guys, we're almost going to wrap it up here. Let us just mention, actually, sorry, I want to do one more source thing, and I'll get back to your point about, that's a good question. Okay, one thing that I've not addressed here, guys, is who is your Rav? So I want to clarify one thing. It could be Rav your meat specifically. I don't hear this phrase. I will need him free here. Okay, Michael. Is Michael still there? Okay, Michael, ready? What does it mean if I say muvhak? If I say I yeshli dugma muvheket, I'm not able. Hear the word muvhak? What does it mean? Anyone know? That means like outstanding. If I have an outstanding example, it's muvhak. Right, but in rap, in halacha, there's a rabbinic term, rab muvhak. What would be rab muvhak as opposed to rab? Well, we all have a lot of rabbis in life, right? I know through high school we have plenty of rabbis. We have shul rabbis. In Oraita, we have 9 different rabbis. Okay, but that doesn't mean everybody is your rabbi. It could be rab muvhak is like your special rabbi, the person who had the most influence on you, taught you the most. I agree. Every time there's a gemara about a rab, you have to ask, are we talking about any rabbi or Rav Muvhak? Just out of logic, guys, or out of language, what would you suspect in this example? I suspect it's Rav Muvhak. Right? It's hard to believe you're supposed to visit, you know, as much as you might love your third grade Chumash teacher. It's probably not what we're talking about here. I even make, you guys tell me if I'm overeating, I even make a little deal. What's the phrase? Lakbil Panay? Rabbo. Maybe I'm overeating. Maybe that Rabbo means your rabbi in the most profound sense, right? Your most significant rabbi, not any rabbinic figure you've ever encountered. Yes, David.
According to the Torah Evan, you're supposed to be going to Shlosh Ban and Shara, so that
would be very good. So notice, I think you're right. I think I'm gonna review all the theories in 1 second. I think you see a lot of contrasting theories here. For example, if you go with some of the other theories, maybe it's really only the Gibor Galim. Okay, maybe it's not Rosh Hashanah. But the Torah Evan's not thinking along those lines. Right? I have a point, the no dude is nice, but it's not to be, yes, agree with this Kiddush, that we're nervous about outstripping God. Terebin might say, in this context, we're not nervous about it. Okay? Who else had a question? Yeah, Isaac.
Maybe you want to not address this at the moment, but just to go against the no dude, could I think
the Rambam quotes it? Really? Let's see. I'm looking up right now. Let us see. Yeah, there is a little doll here. What does it say? Very good. Hilchot Talmud Torah. Perakei Halacha Yudzayin. Let's see how the Rambam quotes it. Very good, Isaac. Have you looked it up in the Gemara?
Yes.
Oh, you're a serious guy. What? What did you say? Oh, he does quote it. Cool. Okay, I'm going to make one last point here. But then we'll wrap up this year. Okay, sometimes, we just talked about language, sometimes placement also matters. And in Rambam is super organized. So where Rambam places something could be very telling. So what do you think, guys? What are the 2 possible places Rambam could place this halakha? Very good. You could place it in Hilchot Talmud Torah, or you could place it in Hilchot Yom Tov. But maybe that's also telling. Like, do you view this as essentially about the Yom Tov experience or about the relationship with your rabbi, right? Where does the Rambam choose to place it? In Hilchot Talmud Torah. So I'm not sure what to make of it, but I think it's quite kind of striking. Okay, the Rambam makes it more about Talmud Torah and about Rav Talmud and less about the Chagim. The other thing I'll point out is, again, even though the Rambam quotes it, the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah do not. So it's still, even if the Rambam thought it was binding still, Isaiah, sounds like the Shulchan Aruch does not think it's still binding. Yeah. Okay, look, you have to forget that the Rambam, what does the Rambam do with things that were once a chiyuv and are longer a chiyuv? Alright, it's a larger topic, I'm not going to just wait a second. What?
Wouldn't
there,
would you say, here, is it an
well, you have a good kasha, but the paradigm of Kedushin seems to think that equals okay. Right? So he's wrong up a paradigm. So you can still ask that question on Kedushin, but I think it's legitimate to base himself on that Gemara.
Right, tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a good question, Kedushin. That's a good question. Yes? Zevi, you guys got to know this is one of our most illustrious alumni. Okay?
Just a comment that even going to the place of Mikdash,
Well, that was the, who said that? That was the Malbim, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you go to the rabbi to sort of replace that.
Religion. Yeah. Okay. Okay, fair enough. That's clever. That's clever study. Okay, guys, last minute summary. Here we go. Actually, one more announcement before the summary. Last week I announced that Jonathan Uriel is leading the Smiley Club. I'd like to announce that Ben is also in the running here, guys. Ben is also a smiley guy. Okay, so eventually we'll get up to five guys. We already have two guys who are excellent at smiley. You guys need, what? Oh, yeah, sorry. And Zach Vanessa, right. Thank you. Right, we're up to three already. Okay, we're up to three. Okay? Joe, keep smiling, Joe. You might get there. Hang in there. Okay? I know it has to... Actually, I'm not going to say. Okay. Okay, what? Which one? Dahl? He's already on too many lists. He's on the Itzad Chatzir too often list. He's on the Hebraeus list. He doesn't need to be on the Smiley list. Yeah, no, he's ready. He's maxed out. Okay.
I think it's really his way of saying.
Okay, could be. Okay, this is like I have a friend who smiles a lot. Okay, so hey, so here, guys, let's do a review of what we got here. Okay, we've got the Turi Eben. What's the Turi Eben theory of life? That when the pasuk said Shabbos, it meant Yom Tov. When the pasuk said Chodesh, it meant Rosh Hashanah. So he would say, really, it's a Yom Tov din. And the interesting thing is, he thinks it's a Yom Tov din, and the Yom Tov din encompasses Rosh Hashanah. Great. Then we go to the Malbim. What does the Malbim think? Really, it's a din of holy experiences and holy days. Okay, what happened? What shifted? Well, when you have a Mikdash, then on the regular you realize it. By going to Mikdash, when you don't have a Mikdash. So visiting the Rav is some kind of substitute for going to Mikdash. That's why we do that today on the regular. We have Sam's point. You still have to deal with the Malbim, why we don't go on Chodesh and Shabbat anymore. Okay, great. Then we had theory three in the Pnei Yeshua. And Yeshua claims, really, it's not a regular day. Really, this is a generic value. When should you visit the rabbi? Every day. What happens, of course? You got life. You have to go to work. Right, that's why he says, A, it's not Zman Brahma. And B, that's why perhaps women specifically would want to go on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, terrific. But notice the contrast at work here. For the Malbim, it's a holy day thing. For the Pnei Yeshua, it is simply a generic value that we happen to realize. By the way, if we get back to my Rambam placement point, who does that make more sense according to? The Pnei Yeshua or the Malbim? Pnei Yeshua. Because the Pnei Yeshua is, it's not really about the Chagim in the slightest. It's really about Talmud Torah. It just happens to take place on the Chagim. Okay, finally we have the last theory today. What's the Noda Behuda theory? Really, he says it should be all the time. Sorry, it should be multiple times. But what's the limitation for him? Not Malacha, the limitation is a different religious value. You can't have covered for a person being more than covered for God. It says, therefore, when there was a Mikdash, how did it play out? Three times a day, a year. When there's no bit of Mikdash, how does it play out? We're not kind of at all. So those who do not fulfill this obligation, we now have a good theory as to why not. Okay, last comment. Tani.
The last one is, it makes it sound like our connection to God is based off the Mikdash, one.
Okay, you have a very good point. You wouldn't want to phrase it absent Mikdash, religious life comes to a halt. But again, it would just be narrowly saying about like this going to visit. Right? I think you'd have to focus just on going to visit. That we don't do with God anymore. But you're right, but I wouldn't want to say it in a broader way. I totally agree. All right, guys. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbat, and we'll pick this up next week.